That was really funny.
Hey guys, welcome to Central Coast and Court.
We have a new intro song.
All right, today we are taking you to Center of Effort.
I'm really excited to go here.
Also known as COE. So full disclosure, we have been here in the recent past. We came here in, I believe, May of 2018. I brought Axel. He was asleep little. In an ergo, and I drank some wine with him on myself. So we have been introduced to their wines in the past. I really enjoyed them then, and we decided we wanted to come back and visit them as part of the podcast.
Yeah, I'm excited. When we were here last time, they were doing a ton of construction. Mm-hmm. We were actually in their barrel room, mm-hmm. I think, which was lovely. But, you know, I'm excited to get, like, the full experience because it looks like they have done a ton of work.
Yes. Yeah, and they are still appointment only. So if you are interested in coming, you definitely want to reach out at least 24 hours in advance. If you have a larger party, probably even further in advance. But very simple to do so. Just go on their website, give them a call, shoot them an email, and you can get an appointment that way.
Yeah, so let's go see what they have.
All right, we'll check back in.
We have really sandy soil, which is not very common in this valley. So we tend to have like smaller vines that are pretty exposed. The fruit is really, it shows like way more acidity in the white wines and a lot more kind of concentration in fruit character in the reds. We primarily make Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. So that's what I would pour for you or show you today.
Okay, yeah.
And then because of the time of year that it is, it'd be a really great opportunity to show you the cellar a bit as well.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, so that's really what we do well here, I think, is pretty personalized service because we do by appointment visits, and we have a lot of knowledge about why why our wines are as they are, mm-hmm. and how we make the wines.
Cool. Are you guys doing 100% estate?
I'm sorry?
Are your wines all estate?
They are, yes. Everything here is grown on our own property, and we have kind of three different vineyard properties within this valley. Yeah. We're on the sort of original part of the property right here, and this is about 100 acres, planted about 63 acres of vines, and it's split between Chardonnay and Pinot Noir pretty evenly. Most of it was developed in 1997, so before the current owners had the property. And so the vines are a little over 20 years old now. And we have, we've spent this is my 10th vintage here. Okay. And a lot of the time has been spent just kind of figuring out what the sweet spots are within the vineyard. We've done a bit of redevelopment already. The block of vineyard right in front of the winery, this was planted in 2013, we redeveloped it. And it really had its first really full mature harvest this year. We're really pleased with the quality we're getting. We changed just a lot of things from rootstock, the spacing and row direction, to kind of optimize quality here.
Cool. Okay. I noticed some new plantings as we were driving up. Is that Pinot or Chardonnay as well, or is it something different?
Yeah, that's Pinot Noir as well. Okay. And that was a block that was kind of struggling. We worked with it for a lot of years and didn't really fully understand why. And so when we started to remove the vineyard, we found that there was something kind of from the original planting wasn't done perfectly. And so the roots kind of are J-rooted. So they, if you can imagine repotting like some flowers or something, mm-hmm. the roots kind of had to grow upward and then back down again. So there's this kind of swan neck in the trunks. And a lot of the vines, it just kind of constricted their ability to move water and nutrients. Yeah. And so I think we are finding that in a few other spots in this vineyard as well. And so we redeveloped that with Pinot Noir, and kind of the choice was made to mirror what was on the other side of the road. It's sort of the approach to the winery, and we wanted to have some sort of symmetry.
Yeah, there. Everything is very symmetrical here.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely think a lot about how the arrival is and what it would look like.
Symmetry is very aesthetically pleasing, so I can see how that would be like appealing for a winery. Yeah. Yeah. Don't want to get too crazy.
Yeah.
Cool. Bye-bye.
Why don't I pour one of the first wines for you here?
Sure.
And I set up a space over here for you.
Oh, that's awesome.
We generally like to invite guests in, and there's a number of different places we could taste depending on what they're comfortable with. So this is sort of a living room space with sofas, a pretty comfortable place to sit and taste. But there's a lot of outdoor space. There's a bar inside, and there's another private kind of seated tasting room. And additionally, even our laboratory is kind of set up to do maybe a little bit more technical tasting as well.
Oh, that's interesting.
A lot of spaces. Cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And so you tasted here in the past, you said?
Yes.
Last year?
Yeah.
So this is probably a wine that you have had before. We make a small amount of a really pale rosé of Pinot Noir. And so this is the Effort 2017 Pinot Noir Rosé. And when people look at it, it's very, very pale in color, almost not even rosé at all. Mm-hmm. And what I like to tell people to do is think of it as a almost a sparkling wine without the bubbles. So it's picked pretty early, pressed super gently, and it's a real savory, not terribly fruit-driven style of rosé that's
so
exceptional with food. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is one of my favorite rosés, I think, in the area.
I want some cheese with it.
I want cheese with everything. Who am I kidding?
But just like a little bit of creaminess to go with the acidity.
We generally, in our tastings, offer a sort of food component as well.
No, I think that's so delicious. I remember this one from last time, too.
So you said you've been with Center of Effort for 10 vintages.
Yeah, I started with them in 2010.
Okay.
And I before that, for 2 years, I was purchasing the front block of Chardonnay for my last job.
Oh.
And so it kind of became my favorite Chardonnay that I was purchasing.
Yeah.
And it was real austere. So we have this kind of characteristic in our Chardonnay that the acidity is very, very high naturally. And so the wines kind of, they're pretty tightly wound and they don't show super well early on. So it was generally around like April of the year following vintage that, that the wine kind of unveiled itself, and it became my favorite Chardonnay that I worked with. It's a little unusual clone. It's clone 5, which is a kind of lanky, a little bit open cluster that does really well in these kind of foggy areas like the Edna Valley. It dries out really, really quickly. It doesn't get bunch rot in the middle very easily. And it's a pretty reliable clone.
Cool. Do they sell a lot of the grapes?
Yeah, not anymore. I think that we kind of became net purchasers at some point for our sort of second. We have a second label called Fossil Point as well.
Oh.
And so that is made with fruit from some neighboring farmers as well as our own estate.
This is the perfect Sunday wine.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is great.
Very often, if it's a lazy Sunday at home, we'll have a bottle of this open in the morning and have a glass or so with breakfast.
I love it.
I have probably one of our best restaurant accounts is in Washington D.C. and it's a great Filipino restaurant called what is it called? Bad Saint, I think. And this wine, think about Filipino food that it's so like savory and there's always acidity and some sweetness, and it was they really love it with the food there, so they've kind of gone through it for quite a while.
Next time your mom visits, let's have her cook for us.
I was thinking it would go good when she's a Filipino food.
Does she know? Is she Filipino?
Yeah, my mom is Filipino.
Oh, wow.
So I was thinking like this would go good with pancit, the noodle dish. That'd be great.
Ooh, I love that stuff.
Well, she puts shrimp in it.
But your aunt didn't.
I thought I was telling her not to put shrimp in it.
Because for your shower, I think your aunt had some I could eat.
Mm-hmm. So on that rosé, I'm assuming you pick specifically for the rosé.
We do, and then we also sometimes add some of the as we sort clusters. There's free drain juice that comes right off the sorting table. So we've also fermented that as well and added that back. So it's a combination. Kind of evolved from initially we made a barrel or two just for in-house use, and our distributor came here for for a lunch. We served a few bottles, and then they decided that they wanted to sell it. So we maybe make no more than maybe 200 cases a year.
Okay.
It's a pretty small production wine, but it's like a whole different niche than the rest of our wines.
Yeah.
And so it's been something that we enjoy doing. We have, as we've opened this hospitality space, we have a little more opportunity to share little niche bits of what we do. And so like the Prova wine, that's like a very lush, kind of rich style of Pinot Noir. We'll be releasing our first ever Chenin Blanc very soon as well. So we have the only producing Chenin Blanc vineyard in the Etna Valley. Although there used to be quite a bit here, and
really?
It was grafted over to Chardonnay in the 80s. But it is really well suited to our area. And so I poured for you here. This is our 2014 Center of Effort Chardonnay. That's our top selection from the estate vineyard. It's entirely grown here on the property, fermented here, and never leaves the property until it goes to market.
Oh my God, that's so good. So you guys have effort, center of effort. So it's like effort and then center of effort, right?
That's right.
My hand went up, listeners.
The way we think of it is center of effort is that's the top wine of the estate. That's the wine that we think is the best representation of each year and each variety. Effort has been an early bottled, kind of more drinkable second wine. And we have great success with that in a lot of restaurants, in higher end by the glass programs. So they're made very much in the same way, but we might select wines that have developed a little quicker. So they're maybe wines that wouldn't age terribly well, but they're delicious when they're young.
So do you want, like, say I buy one of everything you make one day, my husband's at home. Like, you want me to go home and drink the effort and lay down the center of effort?
I think that they're designed to be able to be cellared, but we're usually releasing them when they're really delicious too. So this 14, it has enough age that it's showing those secondary characteristics. So it has this kind of custardy character. It has the lime and freshness is still there underneath the oak tones. And so the way that we make this wine, and I will walk you through the cellar in a minute as well, but this is fermented and aged in a combination of French oak, mostly older, but maybe 20% new, concrete vessels. So we have large egg-shaped fermentation tanks that the wines are fermented in. And then we use a very few acacia barrels. And acacia wood is a really aromatic, kind of resinous wood. It's used in some champagne cuvées that are barrel fermented, and it's used in like Sauternes and Barsac, the sweet wines in Bordeaux a bit as well. And so we were really looking for just some diversity in our cooperage program, and we've fallen into this kind of choosing new French oak that's very long stave aged, so that there's not a tremendous amount of impact from the oak, and really light toasting. So our Chardonnay tends to be more toward the like very citrus tone, not tropical at all. And it likes those kind of more subtle, kind of spice driven oak tones.
It's very easy drinking.
Yeah.
So on your last visit, I'm not sure if they poured this wine Giallo Solare for you or not.
I don't recognize it, so I don't think so. I do know we had a couple Chardonnays, so I don't know what the other one was that they poured for
us.
We
had an effort Chardonnay.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. So the effort is like the more early release style of Chardonnay. This is a sort of a little subset of what we do. So this is entirely fermented and aged in concrete tanks for the first year of its life. And at about this time of year, we would bring the concrete fermented wine into stainless steel barrels and hold it for blending. And so this has maybe 6 months in stainless steel and then is bottled. So it's pretty clean. It's showing what the influence of the concrete is. So there's
it
richness.
Amazing.
Yeah, really floral. Kind of sometimes picks up like tuberose or gardenia.
Like, I don't wear perfume, but I wear this.
So again, very high natural acidity. So this is these are all, the whites are entirely malolactic fermented, but still just hold on to this real crisp kind of freshness. And this wine, I think, to me is like a little bit like, it goes toward like lime and maybe Meyer lemon zest, that really tart citrus.
So we're coming into holiday season. What wine would you like recommend as like the, maybe like a Thanksgiving wine? Or are we not quite there yet?
Yeah, I think that with Thanksgiving, definitely Pinot Noir can be really versatile at the table. It is a little bit lighter on the tannin side for red wines, and it has good kind of freshness and acidity. So usually it is able to pair pretty versatile with the food at the table. And then, of course, I think that as the weather gets a little cooler, Chardonnays, especially aged Chardonnays, are really, really good fit with those kind of richer flavors that we start to see.
Yeah. I really like this.
I know, this is delicious. How long could somebody age like this Chardonnay? Or do you like drink it in a year or drink it in 5 years?
On white wines, acidity is really the clock that kind of determines how the wine ages. And our wines tend to be really, really high in natural acidity. And so they age really nicely. I would say like our cooler years are better for ageability in our wines, but our 2009 Chardonnays are still drinking beautifully.
That's
awesome. Yeah, there's a few, like 2010 was a warmer year, and I think that those wines have faded quite a bit, but you know, with care, they're definitely designed to handle 5 years, 6 years, no problem. And I think that they get more interesting. I honestly, our 2016 vintage of Center of Effort Chardonnay is still a little bit wound up. Like, it's still not quite entirely ready to go. And these wines, we leave them without any SO2 for the first year of their life because we need, we want oxygen to get involved, and oxygen kind of unwraps the wines and helps them to develop. And so with, it just kind of continues into bottle that these wines, they have a real slow clock. They last for quite a while.
Cool.
So you said that you guys wait to release them until you feel that they're ready and like drinkable.
Yeah.
How do you decide that? Like, how do you decide like now's a good time and you know, you don't want to wait any longer, or how do you decide like, oh, maybe not quite yet?
Well, sometimes we get our hand forced a little bit. Like, I feel often that as our wines are selling out, that's kind of when they're at their best. But we're a pretty small winery, and we I think that we've controlled pretty well the process of like how far out in the world we are. So we only sell wine maybe in 13 markets in the U.S. and in Japan. We've done a few. You know, we've sold a little bit of wine in the U.K. and the UAE. So not everywhere. We're mostly kind of restaurant focused, it seems to be. And you know, if anything, I would say like the effort wines are out there. Those are more actively kind of going through the market more quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of these wines are sold strictly, you know, to our mailing list, our members of our club, and that's where they go. Very few select restaurants. So.
I love that.
So locally, are you in any wine shops or like grocery stores, or is it pretty much come and buy the wines here or find them in a restaurant?
You'll find some of the main wines. I think that California Fresh Market has always been a really good supporter. So would you like to do a quick walk through the production cellar back and see the Pinot Noir? Yeah. Do you want a little bit more of this to take with?
I'm okay. I didn't have like a full meal, so
yeah.
I don't want to get too sloshy.
I'm like, I definitely, give me the bottle.
This is our laboratory, so right now it gets a lot of use because it's harvest, but I think that in the off season we'll probably have this set up for tastings occasionally as well.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Good place to do more of a, like, set out a technical flight, or maybe we can do some blending sort of seminar or something as well. Show kind of how we think about all the pieces coming together in the wines.
I love like the science part of winemaking. It's very fun.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm more into the drinking part of that.
That's why we're the perfect partnership.
So these are the concrete eggs that the Giallo Solare was fermented in and aged in. So you can see a lot of them are pretty active right now. Can you grab a glass if you want to taste any fermenting wine?
I mean, I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
We should have brought our glass.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even
think of that.
So these
are Chardonnay ferments that were just put in on the 5th of October.
Ooh, pretty.
Cool.
It's kind of my favorite stage of Chardonnay fermentation.
I just love a hazy wine. I really do.
I tasted mine today. So I am doing my first
foray.
She
made us de-stem 1,000 pounds of grapes by hand.
What?
I did. I did make them do that.
Longest day of my life.
We did it, though. At the end, I was like, we're going to do 5% stem inclusion.
What variety did you...
Syrah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There's some of the aroma that will be in the finished wines already, but in general, Chardonnay has a lot of the flavors locked up in the lees, all the sediments of the fermentation. And so we'll leave the wine in the cask through the first year of its life and try to kind of generate the flavors back out of that.
So does it just sit in this, or do you like mix it up in there?
We only stir it if it starts to get reductive. So if it starts to have sort of sulfury, eggy aromas, then it's telling us it needs more oxygen.
Oh,
and so we'll stir it, and if that doesn't work, we'll rack it out and back. It's happened like one time in the last 8 years that we've had these. And in fact, these largest eggs, we just bought these this summer, and they're intended for a Rhone program that we're developing.
Whoa.
So they'll eventually have Grenache and Syrah and Merlot aging in here.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
You just let me know when to come back for that.
Do you want to see our first Syrah? So this is our first ever Syrah, and it's from a vineyard property just outside. Yeah, of course. So this year is the first harvest from it. So most of the fruit we harvested for rosé earlier, and then we came back for just these 2 bins of red wine fermentation, just to get a sense of this year.
Has this been mashed up yet?
Yeah, but it hasn't really started fermenting. So we're mostly a native yeast winery. And so we're allowing this to come into fermentation on its own. It won't be very long. This time of year, there's so much yeast in the air, it just keeps going.
It smells good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it smells all like kind of blueberry-ish right now.
They look like little blueberries.
Yeah. We do a lot of sorting. So we sort all the clusters first, and then de-stem, and then we sort every berry.
With the machine?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Making sure we're on the same page.
At my house yesterday morning.
If you need help, let me know, because I'm way more into that.
At my house yesterday, we have a little Grenache vineyard behind my house, and Kristen and I have picked that vineyard and de-stemmed it all by hand. And it was a couple hours of work. It wasn't very much fruit. It made me appreciate like how good our machines are, because this looks better than what we ended up with. This is just getting started, getting native yeast and ferment.
What's the percentage of native that you do?
That smells
like way different.
But if we had a really high brick slot or something that looked like it was going to have trouble, we would definitely use a commercial yeast. With our fossil point wines too, we're largely using commercial yeast, just because they're larger fermentations and there's more risk.
Yeah. So, do you guys farm conventionally or like more on the organic side or somewhere in between?
Yeah, everything that we touch is enrolled in the SIP certified sustainable program. And so it's great. We collect a lot of data about what we're doing, and I always have a plan for how to improve for the next year.
Yeah.
I think it's a positive program, and there's really high adoption in the Ende Valley. It's really difficult to farm fully organic in this valley.
Okay.
Just the powdery mildew pressure is present all the time.
Yeah.
So you can do a pretty good job in, we've gone entirely away from herbicides, so we're not using any Roundup in the vineyard at all.
Oh, that's nice.
The vineyard might look a little bit more, like it doesn't look quite as pristine and groomed sometimes, but vine quality, it doesn't, I think we're actually seeing more life under the vines and cycling nutrients a little more effectively.
I feel like more and more, like, nobody cares what it looks like as long as they're they're not poisoning themselves by drinking it, you know?
But like, also, like, if the ground is producing.
No.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
like, I think that, like, I don't care if I see weeds as long as I'm putting something better into me because I'm going to drink the wine. So.
Well, I think that's one thing sustainability does really well is it asks the question, like, are we doing this because it is going to bring a result in efficiency or quality? And a lot of things may not clearly have that.
It's like the end thing right now.
On the left side is the Effort Pinot Noir, and that's a 2016 wine. On the right-hand side is the Center of Effort Pinot Noir, and I'm pouring them together because I think it's a really good way to see kind of why we bottle these wines the way we do. I would almost suggest, actually, if you start with the 15,
okay.
just older, a little bit more subtle. When we're making the decision on what to blend together to make these wines. With the Center of Effort, we're looking for more acidity, more tannin, the things that will help that wine to age into the future pretty well. And so they tend to be pretty mid-weight and more kind of classic in feel. Whereas Effort might be made up of riper lots or lots that have a little softer tannin and just are ready to go out to market immediately.
So from what I've heard and read and gathered is that Pinot Noir can be one of the more temperamental varietals to work with. Do you find that to be true, or is it just a matter of kind of like working with it and understanding it and then kind of finding that rhythm?
Well, for red wines, I've mostly worked with Pinot Noir in my career,
mm-hmm.
and I think it what's true is that it really shows the place. It doesn't just dominate with its own kind of varietal character.
Okay.
Like some varieties can.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really important what the soil is like and what the farming conditions are like. I think that I've worked in wine for a little over 20 years, and it's probably like viticulture has come so far along in that time, and it's made a huge difference in the quality of Pinot Noir wines especially. Even in this valley, if you drive around, you'll see vines that are planted in really rich, heavy soil,
mm-hmm.
And they... You know, they can get quite crowded, the canopies are more shaded, and it can be difficult to make really great Pinot Noir in those conditions. You sort of need a limiting soil. And so we're pretty fortunate here to have a lot of our soil is an old sand dune that was left behind by the ocean. It's a little bit rare in this valley. There's a few other ranches that have that, but you imagine growing something in just sand. There's not a lot of nutrient or water that can be held there. And so the shoot growth is pretty short, the canopies are pretty open, and the fruit gets a lot of sunlight on the clusters early in the life of the cluster, which the berries respond by building a little thicker skin, so more tannin, more color.
I don't think it's fair to pour these wines next to each other. Because, like, they're both very good, and I like this one until I smell this one. And then it's like, okay, yeah, you can just push that one aside. Like, they're both delicious, but
mm-hmm.
the Center of Effort is, it smells phenomenal, I think.
Yeah. So there's a portion of our Pinot Noir that we make as a whole cluster fermented wine. And in that wine, we actually have the interns climb into the
mm-hmm.
ferment and do pichage. So, like, kind of punch down
with
their feet.
My
It's a little colder and scratchier
yeah.
than what you might imagine.
Can
but...
I float in it while someone rubs my scalp?
No.
No. I'm like, who the fuck does this girl think she is?
It is like one of the more popular things to get to do as an intern at Center of Effort. So
yeah.
It's, I think I probably have a picture I'll send to you.
That's so funny.
Yeah. We have like an old dairy milk tank that's kind of very short and kind of broad, and that's our favorite tank for fermenting whole cluster wines. So whole cluster makes up maybe 20% of the Center of Effort wine, and what I think it brings is a little bit different tannin texture, usually a little coarser. The aroma gets like really brambly and kind of herbal and savory, and it's a great add back against our Pinot tends to be very fruit forward and kind of straightforward naturally. And so those whole cluster ferments are a way to bring more interest to the finished wine.
Yeah.
So in your perfect world where I take it home, it's in a wine refrigerator. I always ask this question, everyone rolls their eyes at me. But I'm going to take perfect care of it. When do you want me to drink it?
The 15 Center of Effort Pinot Noir, I think in about 3 years, it's going to be right at the perfect spot. Okay. So right now, you have all these layers of flavor that are there, but the fruit is still really, really forward. And I think as that drops back, you'll get this more wine-like aromas that will come out. So I think that that probably is going to be the perfect place for it. It's hard, though. It's like I think that it's fun to have a few different vintages of the wine to check in on. And even just last month, we sent out our wine club shipment, and in it, we put three different vintages of our estate Chardonnay and tasting notes with it, a sort of whole tasting sheet that that our members could taste through, and gave details about like what the rainfall was, how much heat there was during the vintage. I think it was like a really fun exercise for our team to dig up all that information and think about it, and also to look at what the original tasting notes were and then generate new tasting notes today so we could see how the wines had changed and think about even how our winemaking style has subtly changed in a few years.
Yeah. So with your wine club, do you guys do an allotment, or is it like a club where you get a discount for purchasing, or how often is it, like, tell people about your wine
club? Sure. Yeah, so we our wine club is called the Co-Insiders, and we do shipments just twice a year, in the spring and the fall, kind of to time up with when there's good shipping weather. And so we release a selection of six wines generally. There's kind of two options for the wine club. So you have a six bottle option where it's just six bottles that we choose, a mix of red and whites and occasional rosé. Mm-hmm. And then there is, if you choose a 12 bottle shipment, you can select exactly the bottles that you want.
Okay, well, that's cool. So six or 12 bottles twice a year.
Yep. And then we're holding quite a few interesting events here for our members as well. So we've started to bring in friends that are chefs to do pizza night at our estate right next door. We have a big bocce court, some putting greens, and fire pits. So we have a fun place to kind of hang out and do that. And then we have a number of different dinners coming up. The Rosso Corsa dinner, so that's an entirely stem fermented, whole cluster fermented wine. I'm not sure if you tried that when you were here last or not.
No, definitely.
I should probably dig out a bottle of that for you. it's a great way to kind of show that stemmy character and what we get from that.
What I wish you had.
So we're planning it anyhow at Rosso Corsa release dinner. And Rosso Corsa and Giallo Solare, they're both named after classic color schemes that Ferrari paints their cars.
And oh, so that's what the other one was, a Ferrari car. Yeah. Okay, I'm catching up.
So they're color matched to the owners. Has a great collection of old Ferraris.
Very cool.
Naturally. I just want to be that. Could you please make my wine match my car?
You better start that entrepreneur.
I better start something, because my haircuts are not going to give me any of those things.
If I could make the bottle match my car, I'd just roll it around in the dust a little bit.
Right, there you go. I'm like, and this is a gray Ford.
Not an old one, a new one.
This is a year and a half old.
Let me go find a bottle of that really quick.
Cool, thank you.
So I like this, like, effort for every day.
Yeah, you drink it all.
Well, yeah, I'm going to drink it all. It's delicious. I'm not going to not drink
it. So I agree with you. I think this is definitely, like, drink it right now.
Damn, this other one smells.
So what's interesting to me is that...
Granted, I've been sick. Maybe my smell's not 100%, but to me, this smells
good. No, it smells good. I was expecting a little bit more fruit on the palate, which I actually...
Because of the smell?
Okay. And when I taste it, I don't know if this is also because I'm slightly congested, but I feel more of the structure to it, which took me by surprise. And I had to, like, change
it's
my
just,
mind.
I don't need to change anything other than how much I can drink in a day, because this is, like, I'm loving this wine. It's so good. So it's a 15 cent over. $55. I feel like that's very reasonable for this.
It's very good. I hope you didn't unwrap a special bottle.
No, I just had to go to the wine storage. So what do you think as these wines open up? Do they change a bit?
Yeah, I feel
yes,
like...
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, I just... This 15th center of effort, like, hot damn. It is so good. I just want to... sit here by myself. You guys can leave for a minute. I'm just like, dude, is there nothing for this summer? I'm just like, you guys are like, what the hell's going on over there? No, this is, it's delicious. It's so easy to drink. And sometimes I feel like Pinot aren't easy to drink. Sometimes I feel like they're too complicated for me. And they make me like work too hard for it. It's not just like, oh, this is so good. But this is like easy drinking. I would like to serve it with everything. I do think it would be good for Thanksgiving. You could bring it for Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
I'll allow it.
I didn't bring my wallet, so you'll have to buy it, and then I can Venmo you. For me, when I first was sticking my nose in there and everything, like, I was expecting something different on the palate based on the nose, and I think I got really caught up. Like, there was more structure than I was expecting in the mouthfeel. On the center of effort, and then as it's opened up, I've gotten more of like the fruit characteristics coming through, which was so, I think like my mind shift just had to like change a little bit. Like I was expecting one thing, and then I was like, okay, I need to like not expect anything.
I get that for sure. That wine has like aromatically, it's really kind of dark and chocolatey.
Mm-hmm.
There's oak tones, and on the palate, it has a lot of more kind of maybe candied orange rind and these other like more tart fruit
yes.
characters.
Yeah.
And I mean, Pinot Noir, because it's a little bit more delicate wine, it changes so much just in the glass over the course of a meal. I think it makes it really, this is an interesting wine. It you can kind of have it throughout the meal and see how it just adapts to things as
mm-hmm.
well.
So I can't remember if I heard this in like a podcast or I read it, or what, you might remember where I heard this, but somebody was saying that, you know, it's kind of habit if someone's at my house for dinner and their wine glass gets low to refill it, but this person who was listening, I don't know who it was, was saying don't do that, finish your glass of wine because it changes as it's sitting in the glass and then refill it once it's empty, not like halfway, because then you're mixing things and it's not going to be as pure as it could be. Like, is that, do you agree with that? Do you think that that's how it should be? Or do you think it doesn't make that big of a difference?
I think, I know that when I'm tasting wines in a more, you know, in a more with friends kind of setting, I definitely like to pour not a full glass for people, like leave them just to taste and have a lot of different options so people can go back and forth to the wines. And maybe it's just among my friends, but I don't feel like I need to pour for them. You know, I think that I do think that it's not entirely necessary to like fully rinse a glass out necessarily in between. I think that the wines are usually able to stand up on their own. But I think that if you wanted to really see how a wine changes, a great way to do it is just to pour a glass and set it aside, maybe cover it and let it just interact with air and just come back to it every hour or so. Like this is definitely something I do when we're coming up on a bottling and we want to see how the blend is going to perform. We definitely will just taste it every hour, every couple hours for a few days and see how it goes through life.
Yeah. The effort Pinot, I'm getting a lot of the like earthy, more earthy notes on it. I wasn't sure what it was, and then I read it. I was like, oh yes, dark loam. That is what I'm smelling.
So there, what's interesting? The effort is a 2016 wine, and so that is it's the first kind of non-drought year after you know quite a few in a row, basically from 2011 or 12 through 15, we had very little rainfall in the winter. And so the first couple of years things perform pretty normally, but after a while you start to really see short shoots becoming a ongoing problem. And so by 15, we really were in a pretty struggling kind of state. It makes really concentrated, you know, lovely wines like this. But then in 16, we definitely had more vigor. We had a fruit that was a little bit larger. The cluster weights on average were quite a bit more. And so I think that you get a little bit more green tones in that 16 vintage wine. I think that in the Pinot, yeah, it comes across as sort of like freshness, but also perhaps some kind of some greener, more herbal tones. All right, and now we're going into Rosa Corsa. So this is as kind of outlier as we have. This is entirely native yeast fermented, whole cluster fermented. There's no new barrels here, so everything about this is just
fruit. It smells very different.
Yeah. It's probably a little closed for, you know, initially, being that I just opened this wine. But what I typically will get from this eventually is kind of bay leaf and maybe kind of campfire aromas a little bit.
See, camping wine.
Pairs perfectly with a campfire.
And then the palate feel is completely different. So you get, it's technically less tannic than the regular wine.
Really, but
the
way it feels very much more tannic.
The mouth feel is much more assertive, like that kind of grainy character of tannin. So the different character of the phenols in the wine.
So the main difference is that this is stem inclusion.
100% stem inclusion. So if in your winemaking, you could have avoided all that work for your friends.
No.
The process we go through in this is simply to harvest clusters from a certain block of the vineyard. We need very, very healthy clusters. We can't have any kind of bunch rots inside, any kind of damage. So there's one clone on our estate that does a really great job of that. It's clone 23. Which is an old Swiss clone, and it's mostly, it was brought to the U.S. to use for sparkling wine production, and it has a very loose cluster, which is unusual for Pinot Noir, and it dries out really well inside. But because of that, I think there's quite a bit of light that can hit the rachis or the stems of the fruit, and so we will sort those clusters into a fermenter. Seal it tight, and every day, twice a day, add some CO2 as dry ice pellets. So we're trying to eliminate as much oxygen as we can. And what happens is the berries start to go through a partial carbonic maceration. So it's like how they make Beaujolais, right? There's a modification of the aroma inside of the berries, and you get to maybe 3 or 4% alcohol. And by that time, the berries start to rupture, and the natural yeast start to take over the fermentation. So usually that's about day 10. And from that point, once fermentation starts, we'll begin pigeage, which is the treading of the grapes. And that'll continue maybe 2 or 3 days until everything's pretty well mixed up and fermenting well on its own. And after about maybe the 20th day or so about 3 weeks or more in, we'll drain down the free run juice and press off the rest. With both all the center of effort and effort wines, these are entirely just the free-drained wine. So there's not any press wine. Press wine can sometimes be more aggressively tannic and just a little different in quality. So we're just using the very best for what we do.
Okay, that's cool.
So this is, I think that the Rosa Corsa is probably it's more interesting just because it's so different from most of what is done in California. And there are a few Burgundian producers that most of their production is in this manner. And the wines they're much more savory. They're a little bit, they kind of lend themselves toward pairing with different food, I think.
Yeah, I feel like I want food with this. Mm-hmm.
So we're planning to have a Rosa Corsa dinner coming up in November, and the chef has developed a pretty amazing, menu for it.
I love that. Like, I like that more and more places are doing dinners or something where the food showcases the wine and vice versa. Like, I love to eat, so and I'm alone. So for me, it's perfect. But yeah, I think that's great because it does. It changes it so much, so much. Like. My husband and I have gone to a lot of different restaurants and done the wine pairings, And I think our favorite is one up in Los Gatos. And it was such a game changer. Like, I have never experienced food and wine together in such a perfect harmony. Like, it was phenomenal. You guys are by appointment only. How many days a week are you open? Every day?
Essentially every day. If you make an appointment and we have staff to host you, we will.
And what's the best way to make an appointment? Online or call? Or?
Yeah, our website. So it's coewine.com.
Okay.
You can make an appointment there, or an email or a phone call is good too.
Okay, and then when we came in, you were telling us about like the different things you have, or you have some that are more intense. And so are those options on your website, or is that something that like we should shoot you an email and be like, hey, I'm super into like the technical side of wine. Can you give me a tasting that kind of caters to that? Or
yeah, I think that if you're able to, and generally I think that when you call in, you'll be asked those questions as well. But usually they'll ask if you're a member, if you've been here before, you know, what your level of interest is in wine. And even when you come here, we're pretty able to adapt just because everyone knows, you know, how we do things here pretty well. And I think that that's something that's pretty unique, is we're able to give you an experience that's tailored pretty well toward what your interest is.
What's the largest group you can accommodate for a tasting?
Well, I mean,
or that you want to accommodate, maybe is it better?
I think that we do really well with groups of like under 8 people. Like, that's kind of a good size. If we do anything bigger than that, we certainly have, but we might structure it a little differently, more as like a event or bring in lunch for you or something like that.
Okay.
So,
and like, what is your tasting fee?
You're probably asking the wrong person. I believe it's like $30 at this time.
That sounds average.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
I think that we are still very much in a kind of process of beta testing and seeing what works well. But I think that we intend to have a little bit more intensive tasting option with food as a part of it as well in the future.
That's awesome.
But it's in development right now.
Do you think that you'll always be appointment only, or at some point do you think that like this would become a full tasting room that's open for certain hours every day?
I mean, I think that the owners wanted to have this be a special place that their members could come and know that they could get a little bit more quiet attention.
Get away from the riffraff.
Well, I think that there's other... I think that there's a lot of really good experiences in this valley. Like, you have everything from Moline, where you can go and taste on their lawn. You have like Tolosa does a pretty intensive barrel tasting, and then there's, you know, any number of other kind of options of what to do. So I think we were trying to bring something a little different here, and we just feel like we do a better job if we know who's coming and we can be prepared for them.
I think it's awesome. If there's a choice to make an appointment or not, like, I always want an appointment. It's like, I feel like it's always better.
What we want people to know is that we're, like, we are by appointment, but we are not inaccessible either. I think that we always want to be able to welcome people, and we kind of are doing a by appointment as a way to connect more completely with people instead of just a more casual experience. So that's the intent there. And, you know, I think that we're probably figuring things out a bit as we go on how, what the best way forward is as we develop our hospitality program here. And so it could be, we'll always accept input and, you know, suggestion as well. So we'll probably try a lot of different things out over the next year.
It seems like you guys have a pretty awesome person on your, like, email list contact. Because I get emails from you guys from last time we were here. And, you know, I have to compliment whoever does it. Because it's like, oh, we're having, like, this dinner. I think there's been dinners that they've sent out emails for. And it's, like, far enough out to let you know. It's clear what it caught. Like, it's very well done. Somebody's putting a lot of effort into that. And, like, I really appreciate that, because there are other wineries and I'll get an email like, oh, we're having this like great thing on Saturday. And I'm like, dude, it's Thursday. Like, how do you expect this to happen? But I feel like there's always like a good amount of time for people to plan, but not like a year out where I forget. Like, it's just, whoever's doing that is really doing
well. That would be Casey. That's Casey who's in charge of that. And she she and Alexandra kind of head up the hospitality end of things, and they put a lot of thought into it, and they do a great job.
Well, it shows, and that's one thing I definitely, even before we were planning to come here, that's something that I've appreciated for a while. I was like, man, like, I'm always disappointed I never get to go, but I appreciate knowing about it, and it's very clear, and yeah, they're doing a great job.
Yeah. I, as well, like, I think that your pricing structure is very approachable, especially on the effort label. So I think that is something that people will appreciate too.
Yeah,
we
have wines that go from.
My goodness, I'm a little bit shocked.
We have wines that we want you to be able to drink every day, you know, and we have wines that are definitely really small parts of our production that we necessarily have to charge quite a bit for.
Yeah.
But I think that overall we deliver really high quality across the range of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you know, we're really committed to bottling only the best. So.
Ooh, magnums. I love a magnum.
Yes, you do.
Our magnums are called Extra Effort. The same wine, but yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're welcome. It's nice to meet you. Oh.
Welcome back.
Ooh.
I was trying out something new.
All right.
I was thinking in my mind, I was like, what's that movie where it's like, we're back? I feel like I saw that in a movie. It made me laugh.
Anchorman?
I love Anchorman. That's a great movie.
I've never seen Anchorman.
What?
I own Anchorman, and I've never watched it.
I don't even understand how that's possible right now. That's like
know.
A great movie. You should
know.
Go watch that.
All right.
Anyways, I hope you guys could understand how much I enjoyed that. Like, I felt like their wines were delicious. That Center of Effort Pinot, I think it was like, what, a 2015?
Mm-hmm.
That thing, that rocked my world. It was so bleeping good.
It was so interesting. We really took our time through the tasting as well. So it wasn't just a drink it down and then move on to the next one. Like, I definitely let the wine breathe a little bit, kept, you know, aerating it in the glass. So I feel like it changed so much from when I first sipped it to, like, the final time that I tasted it. And the nose changed, too. Like, it smelled very good in the beginning, and it only got better.
Yeah. It was, I thought it was, I didn't feel rushed by them, either. It wasn't even like, I'm taking my time.
Right.
It was just, the whole process was so relaxed and down to earth. And I appreciated that.
Yeah. All in all, I mean, I don't know if our experience was the typical one or not, but it did. We were there for about an hour and a half. So when you're planning your visit, I wouldn't say this is like somewhere you're going to zip in and out of.
Yeah, it's not a quick stop.
In 30 minutes, like just drink 5 wines, pick the one you want and move on. You're definitely going to have a little bit more of an educational experience, get to savor the wines, really kind of get to know them, understand if you want to make a lifelong, no, sorry.
I'd like to make a lifelong commitment to them. I definitely would. Put a ring on it. I would like more wine, please.
Put a ring on it.
I thought their price points were very approachable. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the rosé was 20, and
depending,
like,
on the vintage, there
their
was,
most
there
was expensive
bit.
Pinot was 80.
Yeah,
and you know, goes 20 to 80. Like, that's
I
there's get that
a
that's a wide
between.
Range, but like, that is not overpriced for what it is. I don't think at all,
and
especially considering it's like a one essentially a private tasting. Like, because you're one on one, it's small, it's a beautiful property. Like, I was really. I feel like it's a good value.
Yeah. The Effort label as well, I think all of those wines were priced at about $35. So very approachable in the sense of, you know, like, all of those wines were great. I love that Chardonnay.
We didn't try
the Effort
Chardonnay.
Oh, sorry. We didn't
today.
Have to try the
but
Effort
But we
Chardonnay.
Have bought that before, and it was delicious.
Right. And the Effort Pinot was very good as well.
It
I
was.
Mean, I think it was a little unfair to do the side-by-side comparison.
Not fair, because the Center of Effort Pinot was really good.
But both of them very, very good. And I love that they're doing, you know, mostly native ferments, focused on sustainability and practice. So that's all really awesome.
I thought it was great. I love it. I can't wait to come back.
Yeah. Well, you guys, we are so excited that you listened to this episode all the way to the end. If you liked this episode, you should go and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
And listen to them. And if you're feeling extra nice, you could leave us a review.
If you're only feeling a little nice, you could, but just make sure it's a nice review.
Other than that, you can always keep up with us on social media, Facebook, Central Coast Uncorked, and Instagram at Central Coast Uncorked. And if you want to send us a really nice email, info@centralcoastuncorked.com.
And tell us where you want us to go.
Yeah, because otherwise we're just going to keep going where we want to go.
Yeah.
Which is also where you should want to go.
Obviously.
In our opinion.
Obviously.
All right, you guys.
All right, thanks
for
listening.
Bye. Bye.